Welcome to Highly Political, a podcast where two passionate ladies smoke weed, talk politics, laugh, and sometimes cry. With special guests from the world of comedy, cannabis, and politics.
We haven't worked on Capitol Hill, but that's okay. We're paying attention, and so should you.
We want you to be informed, like little democracy angels. So pack your bowl, grab some snacks, and let's get into it. And remember, when they go low, we get high. Today we're smoking Super Jack, the always energetic cross between sativa legend Super Silver Haze and Jack Herrera.
Like Trump tweeting on steroids, this strain gave us some pep, and we needed it to get through this Supreme Court hearing.
Lady G has the sweats, and Kamala didn't come to play, but John Neely Kennedy sure did.
We only have 20 days until the election, so everyone make sure to get out and vote early if you can. Please. Please.
All right, T, light it up.
Oh, is that lighter not working? Here, use this one.
Thank y'all.
You're welcome.
You're smoking Simple Jack.
I like that. The taste is really, has a nice fruity flavor to it.
And I'm smoking a mystery joint I took from Eric.
Oh, nice. Even better. Free weed.
It's gonna be sativa. He likes a sativa. Has Simple Jack.
Oh, be careful. See, that's the thing that's dangerous about those little mini joints is that the flame is rather close to your face.
I'm having trouble sleeping, T. What do you recommend? Any
damn, it's got like I don't know why that felt like it got serious so fast. I'm having trouble sleeping.
While we're here,
CBN. Products with CBN. Kiva has a product. I can't remember the...
I love Kiva.
Yeah, it's like a gummy that has CBN.
And
I don't know
if
it's CBN
gummies.
And CBD or CBN and THC, but it's supposed to be really good to help with sleep.
I think it starts with a C. Obviously, you said CBN, but I think
Their gummy line's called El Camino.
Oh, yeah, El Camino.
And then they have different flavors.
It's delish.
And strains and stuff.
Kiva, come at us. We'll, you sponsor us.
We'll get high. On your supply.
You know who's high tea? Our president.
Oh my God. On steroids.
Yo. Trump is on drugs and tweeting more than ever before.
Dude, there's nobody that can take his phone away or hide it or give him like one of those Fisher Price cell phones and let him think he's tweeting away. Like, what if they just turned off the Wi-Fi and just, like, let him think all his tweets are getting posted?
How hard is it to give him a dummy phone?
It shouldn't be that hard.
Right. But he employs a bunch of idiots.
I guess it's more than anything. He employs a bunch of people who don't really care about, like, anything that he does, clearly.
That's true.
Can I see that lighter, please, on that note?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Where do I ash this, T?
Just random champagne glass.
Perfect.
I
10 day. He tweeted. Okay, so first of all, he is holding. He refused to sign a stimulus bill until the election.
And then didn't he tweet like a stimulus bill go big or go home?
Probably.
Because he retracted that, saying that he was going to push something, try to push something before the election.
Full disclosure: I blocked Trump on Twitter.
Damn, I bet that really pissed him off.
Yep, really. I really sent him a message.
Did you tell your mom?
No.
Guess what, mom? I blocked Trump on Twitter.
Yeah, she would not give a shit. Currently, my mom and I are on the rocks. We're not seeing eye to eye on some political views, and I am being rather antagonistic about it. Okay, I see that. I gotta stop.
You think she goes off on the pod, and you should see her group chat or just her chat thread with her mom.
Just my chat. I love her, but these are trying times.
That's fair.
And California's still on lockdown, y'all. It sucks over here. Okay, I'm pissed. I'm in my home. I'm just letting the rage fill me.
Dude, I feel like this part of the COVID lifestyle is like much more gloomy than the initial lockdown.
Yeah, the initial lockdown, everybody was like, oh, I'm not gonna work for a couple weeks.
Yeah, like we're in this together, like we're doing our part, like as soon as this is all over.
Right. Remember all the commercials of kindness?
Remember at like 8 or 7 p.m. every night, people would be outside clapping for health workers. That shit was so beautiful.
Yeah, that shit stopped.
Oh yeah, nobody's out here clapping for nobody.
Well, cases did drop.
Well, that's good.
And I was talking to my friend who works in a hospital, and he was saying he's not afraid of COVID. He's young, he's healthy, and he's saying it's because I work with doctors,
right?
And they, they just do what Fauci tells, wash their hands, wear the safety gear,
right.
Limit their interactions, and they're not afraid of COVID. So if the doctors are not afraid of COVID,
well, I think there's something different. I don't think there should be hysteria and being afraid of COVID, right? It's having common sense about.
I'm just saying, open up the movie theaters, Garcetti. Okay.
Okay, I don't know about that.
Open them up.
I think. I don't think there's a huge correlation of like doctors aren't afraid and let's go get some popcorn at the movies.
Okay, I wanted to see Tenet in theaters, and now I'm just never going to see it.
Listen, I'm not judging
Bill
like,
and Ted.
The fact what you're missing and the experience of being at the movie theater. I think it's hard. You can't replicate that even with like a large group of people. Like there's nothing like that. But I just personally feel that was quite a jump from just very much kind of misleading me. Like, I have a friend who's a nurse whose doctors told him not to be afraid. So let's go back to the movies. Like, slow down. Slow down. Let's just like try to get schools maybe back together or figure out like.
Also, I don't have AC in the house. A, because our house is old. And B, because I don't want AC because it's bad for the environment. But I will say. I am one of those people who uses the movie theater on a hot day to enjoy some AC.
I respect that. Listen, I'm not. I think it's important to like the things that we miss and that we want. I just think that I don't think correlating being afraid of something versus taking the proper precautions.
Also, Eric keeps saying, oh, get ready for that winter bump of COVID.
Well, that's like, not how I feel.
Yeah, no, shut the fuck. I don't want to hear about it. I know it's coming. Just
it's like, but then see, for me, it's like, well, then we should prepare for that and try to do what we can to reduce it. Unless we're just like, don't be afraid, let's go to the movies.
No, I'm like, let me get one movie in before the influx.
Right, fair. I mean, that's fair.
I'm gonna wear a mask
and a face shield.
I actually want a face shield.
I wore one when I flew to Texas.
Oh yeah.
Are we gonna get this together?
The answer is no.
Yeah, I don't know. So,
what did Trump tweet about California?
California is going to hell or something. New York's gone to hell. Like, vote Trump and California's going to hell and Chicago has nowhere to go. Like,
yeah,
like if Chicago had somewhere to go, how would Chicago go? Is what I would like to know. Is he talking about the residents? He's talking like he wants to cut out Chicago and move it somewhere?
I think he's talking about cutting out Chicago and moving it.
I can't, but so, yeah. I mean, California means, if you're talking about the raging fires, and I guess we kind of are in hell.
Yeah, no, we're in some kind of environmental hell. Which he's not helping. Yo, if Trump won, literally, fire control in those federal-owned parks would 100% get worse. Yeah. There's no question about it.
I don't know, man. Like... Just thinking about Trump, like, and everything going on, I think it's, like, adding to, like, my overall, like, depressive state lately. And I think just, like, as it gets closer, like, to the election and, like, just more nonsense keeps going on, it's just, like, it's just scary.
Speaking of the nonsense in California, the California Republican Party is doing some shady shit. Okay, people?
And they're trying to, like, make it. Like spin it that it's not shady.
So what they're doing is it's a Republican Party in Fresno.
Well, it's the California Republican Party.
The California in Fresno. We're putting out
not just in Fresno, throughout California.
Oh.
Fresno is the one that agreed to remove it.
Oh.
And the guy on NPR who was like a spokesperson for the California Republican Party was saying how they're not going to remove additional ones.
Yeah, so they're putting unofficial ballot boxes.
Yeah, basically like collection boxes at some of their headquarters and apparently like other locations like churches and gun shops. And the gentleman, I'm trying to remember his name.
Oh, who was the head of the party?
Yeah, Hector Barajas. He was a spokesman for the California Republican Party. He was saying that the party is not going to comply with orders to remove unofficial ballot drop boxes around the state. And he says that the Republicans are doing something called ballot harvesting where you're allowed to, have somebody collect amount of ballots and drop it off. But there's there's rules and regulations around ballot harvesting about.
And originally it's meant to help people who maybe couldn't go out to the ballot vote. The elderly, the sick, and there's a chain of command, as he said.
Yeah, and you have to write, like, I think the person who's ballot it is. Yeah, you have to sign and, you know, get permission and where they're going to be held and all that kind of stuff. So basically what they're doing is collecting ballots, and their whole thing they're saying is to ensure, like, voters know that their votes is safely going to get to the voter's register office. But what makes collecting ballots in your unofficial ballot boxes at gun stores, churches.
By the way, they all had big stickers on them that said official ballot boxes.
Yeah, like, I just don't understand, like, how, like, specifically with the argument against, like, mail-in ballots and how it's so dangerous. And, like, what's so much more dangerous than giving your ballot to a federal employee, the postman, and it going through a federal process to get to the voter's register's office versus dropping a bunch of ballots off at a Republican headquarters?
At a gun shop?
At a gun shop. And I listened to him on NPR, and the reporter was really great because she was saying, like, wait, I'm sorry. What is it, like, that you think makes, like, what is it that is more secure about dropping it off at, like, a church or a gun shop? And he said, well, you know, if I knew that I could go to the church I frequent, or in this case, a gun shop that I frequently go to, like, okay, you know, then I would feel secure and safe knowing that if I dropped off a ballot there, that my ballot would safely get to, you know, the voter's register's office. Okay, fine. But, like, everything you've said about voting and, like, and voter fraud is, like, the exact opposite of that. And it seems like, again, if there's no plan about how, oh, and other thing that was shady is the interviewer asked him, like, oh, like, are you going to put out a list of the locations where you have these boxes? And he said, no, we're not going to give out a list of where they're at or how many we have. And she's like, okay, well, what makes it more secure? And if you say it's supposed to give people more access to be able to vote, why wouldn't you put a list out so people know where they're at and where to go? And he said, oh, well, you know, they're at a lot of our headquarters. So if you want to drop one off, just come to the headquarters and drop it off there.
Isn't there someone, I normally vote by mail or in person. I haven't, like, I don't think I've ever dropped it off at a ballot box. But isn't somebody checking your, don't you have to bring your ID or something?
No, normally I haven't. I've never dropped off my ballot. I've just always gone in and voted, and they just, like, checked my name and.
Or I just fill it out and then I drop it off on the day of.
Yeah.
Which is not recommended in this election. Do not do what I used to do.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to drop mine off at, like, a polling location, but early. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to mail mine in.
Mm.
And hope it happens. I think it will.
Well, the thing that's so great is you could track your ballot.
Exactly.
So
my
friend
Nick, shout out to Nick. He already voted, and then he got a little notification that said his ballot had made it.
Nice. And then it's like, then you know if it gets rejected or not.
I mean, here's the thing that Republicans are doing. They're so great at it. They're so nefarious. They're evil. They're villains. They have no soul. They are Voldemort. Honestly.
Specifically this administration, Republicans in power right now.
But
I was going to say, I don't think all Republicans. I think, you know, like, more extremists, but.
In a perfect world.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, we would be able to have ballots everywhere. Everybody could just conveniently vote.
You mean like the mailboxes that they removed?
Yeah. Like that. You know? And the thing is, it started, you know, first of all, it should be the easiest thing to vote in this country.
You shouldn't have to register to vote.
I should just be able to fucking text somebody.
If you have a social security number.
For Biden, you put that in?
Well, that's extreme. But especially the, yo, you want to put that in for me part?
I'm going to be at the movies.
completely unafraid of COVID at the movies.
Texting.
Breathing that recycled air.
Should be a holiday. It should be all of the above. And so what they want to do.
Well, how do people still get Chris or. What they called Christopher Columbus Day off still.
People still get, oh, is it a bank holiday?
Yes, some people still get it off.
Yeah, okay. Let's make that.
How is that like a day that people get off but not election day? Unless there was like a reason why you didn't want people to vote.
Because America's hijacked by stupidity and hypocrisy. Okay, so maybe I'm thinking because it's like, what is their goal? Are they just going to not count the blue votes? But they can't tell who is whom because they can't open.
Exactly. Well, one of the things it sounded like that the reporter interviewer was trying to like ask him was like, are you, you know, it, because he said the guy alluded to something that it was a political strategy. So she says, so is this about security or political strategy? And then she asked him, like, are you planning and like ready to go to court over this? So in my mind, it feels like a way to possibly like delay or eliminate or something. It just doesn't
delay.
It just doesn't seem right. The part about not giving the list of where they're at, the part that it like stinks of hypocrisy about all the stuff you claim about voter fraud. You know, the fact that like the Democratic Party is not going out here making our own ballots.
As we've talked about in the pod before, after I spent hours reading up on voter fraud cases, all six of them or whatever, literally all majority Republicans, mm-hmm. all of them, mm-hmm. a couple on accident because they had different estates,
right?
But the others, not an accident.
There was just a couple. I forget the details, but there was just something recently where like these two guys were caught with like creating like robocalls to people, like trying not to tell, like telling them that telling them that if you, I think it was like, register for an absentee ballot or do mail-in voting, then you'll be put on a list of like your warrants, or like the police will know about you. And it was like targeted to like more low income like communities of minorities as well, and like just making people afraid to go, like they, oh, if you sign up for absentee ballot, then you're gonna have to be forced to get a COVID vaccine when they come out. I guess just things to try to like deter people from voting. Another thing about this ballot drop-off things that's, I think, is also interesting. If anybody could just create their own unofficial drop-off spot, well, what's stopping people who are actually truly trying to deter from creating their own unofficial drop-off boxes? And as a voter, how do you know the difference when, like, especially if you're a Republican voter, hear what the Republicans are doing and know that people are doing that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, as a way to thwart the election.
Yeah.
You know, our lives are filled with misinformation, people trying to cheat. It's so stressful.
Dude, speaking of like misinformation, this is kind of like on topic, but I just couldn't believe this statistic earlier. So I guess apparently recently Facebook decided that they're going to start banning Holocaust denial like ads and stuff, and things like that. And, you know, of course, Zuckerberg,
Facebook always ahead of the curve.
Right. Zuckerberg, I guess, in the past had said, like, you know, he found it like offensive, but, you know, he didn't think that Facebook should be taking it down and blah, blah, blah. But apparently he says that his thinking has evolved because data showing an increase in anti-Semitic violence, the company said it was also in response to an alarming level of ignorance around the Holocaust, especially among young people. It pointed to a recent survey that found almost a quarter of people in the U.S. aged 18 to 39 said they believed the Holocaust was either a myth, had been exaggerated, or they were not sure about the genocide.
Okay, first of all, we don't know about the survey.
Yeah, exactly. You don't, but still, I mean,
but it was enough to make Zuckerberg a little shaky.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't like a, you know, a survey.
A TikTok poll?
Yeah, I'm sure like they had looked at some good numbers. But I mean, I'm sorry. I don't care. 25% of any people surveyed between 18 to 39 years old that believed that the Holocaust might be a myth, or it was exaggerated, or it wasn't a genocide. That's really like crazy and alarming to me, but then also I guess not so surprising about where we're at as a country right now.
What I'm saying, 18-year-olds, right? I mean, where are these children going to school?
39-year-olds are the ones I'm more concerned about.
Oh, I think I just ignored that. I just let that number get out of my head.
18 to 39, that means people that like are older than us. And then, like, all the shit, I mean, I feel like there's probably so much more we could have learned about it, and we probably got like a very like, you know, not fairy tale, but you know, a lot of stuff you get taught in history is not always the absolute truth and kind of more simmer down version of things, you know.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
But I feel like when I was in school, like there's no doubt in my mind that the Holocaust existed, let alone was as terrible as it's described, even in a light version, and fucking it was absolutely a genocide. So I just. So just the fact that like there's that much misinformation out there that people are questioning things like this, like that's, I think, that also just like freaks me out.
So the social dilemma.
Whereas I can't, I know, I'm afraid to watch it.
Honestly, don't. At the end, all the people who created all the apps and stuff, they go, you know, but I have a hope in humanity. And these were initially there to do good. And I'm like, you know what?
You know what I
think? Get the fuck out of here with your hope.
Yeah, this is my hope right here.
She's lighting it up, guys, in case you didn't know.
Just fuck.
Well, you know, another thing to know, I guess not be hopeful, but who knows? You know, Amy Coneyhead Bareback is, her committee hearing was today because you know, we don't want to take care of Corona. We don't want to take care of the economy, healthcare. No, we got to really spend our time and push in this judge.
So wild. So close to the election.
So close like, to the election. Oh my God, you're so right.
I like, because for some reason, I'm like, oh, it's still October. And then I'm like, wait. Yeah, dumb bitch, elections day is November 3rd, you stupid hoe. The fuck? You need to be panicking a little bit more, y'all. Like, we need to not relax. We need to keep our fucking, like, foot on these motherfuckers' necks because this shit is real. And, like, the one thing that's cool is, like, it really does feel like people are really getting out there. They said already 10 million people have voted in early voting.
That's wild.
That's amazing, you know, and they're showing long lines of people, like, voting in Atlanta. I think that has a little bit to do with voter suspension, but also people, like, being like, no, we voting, and we're getting out there early to make sure we fucking voting.
That it counts.
You know, oh, I stayed out here all day today. Guess where I'm going to be tomorrow if I don't get a chance to vote today? Right back here.
Mm-hmm.
Voting.
Oh, my God. Lady G is the committee chairman. Judiciary Committee.
He must be stressed out.
First of all, homeboy probably has COVID. He canceled a debate that he had with Jamie Harrison, a former Queen of the Week, who is up by 1% in the
Ooh,
polls.
Ooh, let's go, Jamie.
And he abruptly canceled. Yo, Jacqueline, girl.
She's fired about it. Fired up about it too.
She wants to know about Lady G. But he was looking tired and sweaty today.
Really?
I gotta say.
I saw a couple of clips, but I wasn't able to watch the whole thing.
Okay, so basically, you know, she's a crazy people of praise Christian. We've talked about this. She's a charismatic Catholic. Did we say her religion is what helped inspire Gilead in The Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah. We did talk about that and how they all were like black to like mourn the babies that would have died.
Oh, no, that was my grandma and her friends.
Oh, that was just your grandma and her friends?
Yeah, but they're also charismatic Christians.
That's hella funny.
Here, I've been doing some more reading up on this, guys, because, you know, I can't help it. And what annoys me about this sect, first of all, there was a popular sect in New Jersey. So I don't know what's going on over there in my home state. But they're also not even always Catholic. Sometimes they're from other denominations getting together. They basically think they're the holiest of the holy.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Okay. They're the most chaste.
Chaste? I think it's chaste.
They're the most chaste of the chasted.
I don't know about chaste. Chasted?
We're gonna roll with it.
Yeah, for marketing they're the most chaste of the chaste.
They're the pure of the purest, you know?
They're like the creme de la creme.
Yeah. So first of all, very scared about Roe versus Wade.
I just find it so annoying at all that the religion of any politician or judge or anybody, I mean, like, of course we have to care about it because she's an extremist, but like that's something that people have to go out there and tell, like, I'm a God-fearing, this and that. It's like, okay, cool, yeah. Great. In this country, we were built on separation of church and state. So, like, yeah. I don't really fucking care.
That's never going to happen.
You know what I mean? Like, every single person should just be out here saying, like, yeah, this is my religion, but I'm not going to do, like, based off my religion for the entirety of the American people.
Yeah, and she will. And also, Trump is appointing her for that.
Exactly.
Because the evangelicals and right-wing people, they made a deal with the devil so they can get Roe v. Wade overturned.
So crazy.
But what I was watching tea, I decided to watch some of Ruth Bader Ginsburg hearing, and a little eye-opening. Joe was the committee chair.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, speaking of Joe, he was on MSNBC, a clip of him the other day, and his mask was crooked. Oh, yeah, I don't know. I sent you the picture.
Yeah.
Come on, Joe.
And like the shot you got of when you paused it, like his eyes were like closed. Mm-hmm. So he was like, eyes were closed, and his like his hands were like in an awkward position and a crooked mask. He very much looked very like, oh, silly old Joe. Yeah. You're not really going to connect with the young kids, right? Yeah. I'm like, why did you have to have that surgical mask on? Why didn't he just have like...
He looked like he was, you know, speaking from a nursing home, if I'm being honest. I mean, I can't...
If I'm going to be honest, I would have to agree.
So the Joe that I wish we had still was in the RBG hearing. Mm-hmm. And what I found really great about this hearing overall, there was a higher... and, you know... Listen, Republicans are fueling these fires, but I'm just saying it's hostile on both sides.
Right.
But RBG's hearing was it was much more civil.
Mm.
I felt there was an air of civility, you know?
That's been lost.
There were some laughing, some giggles on both sides.
Some more mutual respect.
Exactly. She was also confirmed 96-3.
Wow.
The Senate confirmed her 96-3.
Wow.
Damn. Orrin Hatch, who's still a senator. I mean, Joe Biden. Well, Joe Biden isn't anymore. He's running for president. But Orrin Hatch looked young, if you could even imagine. If those of you who know or remember Orrin Hatch, just like, he looked like a spruce chicken in his, you know, mid-50s.
Oh, wow.
And I think Orrin Hatch was around there. Not Orrin Hatch. The new Ham. Oh, Leahy. Anyway, they were all young. They're all young in their mid-50s, you know. But it was just... And the same, it's like we're still talking about the same stuff. Orrin Hatch brought up gun rights, you know what I mean? But Joe was, talking about being progressive and listening to the Constitution, but also understanding that, you know, we're moving ahead, we're for the human rights. He said that he thinks the court should be a generation ahead, which, you know, Joe Biden, people give you a lot of shit that you're not doing the good fight, but you've been out here for a long time. Doing some things.
Right.
But for for Amy Crop Top Booty Hole, she
loving these nicknames you're coming up with.
I just was like, what silly names?
Amy
I could
Crop Top Booty Hole. I would have came up with that one.
First of all, she's been a judge for 3 years, but which like I no, you're not for the Supreme Court. I'm sorry.
I also thought when I heard that detail, like, huh. Seems like there should be a little more requirement to be a judge on like the highest court in the land than just being a judge somewhere for only 3 years.
Yeah, I agree.
And was she nominated even,
like,
by Trump?
Even Kavanaugh, I mean, he had a pretty impressive resume.
Right.
And in terms of, you know, he clerked for a Supreme Court justice. He worked on the famous let's try to get Clinton out of the White House case. I mean, right. I don't agree with any of his views or values or opinions, but...
Yeah, or the way he expresses himself in fit of anger, but...
Yeah, or the way he rapes people.
That's
So, yeah, I, you know, say what you will about him, but he did have, you know, an impressive resume.
Yeah, and at least had the fucking, like, job history.
Yeah, and so...
I mean, you need, like, more fucking, like, experience to get a job at Domino's, I feel like... Sometimes serving jobs
today is the day Tiana and Sam just go hyperbolic.
But let's be real, I mean, you need less. I mean, I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of places you need like very limited jobs where you need more experience.
You're trying to die on this domino hill?
No, I'm just trying to reframe my analogy because I see that it was like extreme for it to make like a statement. It wasn't meant to be like a large discussion, but I'm just saying there's probably jobs that aren't deemed as important as being a Supreme Court justice where you need more than 3 years experience to get it.
I agree.
Maybe not flipping a pizza, but...
I don't think flipping a pizza.
Let me know, guys. I've never applied to Domino's, so I don't really know what their hiring policy is.
What if actually it was very intense?
That's what I'm saying. Think about some of the fucking like server jobs you've gotten and they're like, oh, 3 to 4 years of experience. It's like, I'm carrying a plate to a table and giving them change. Like, what? Why do you need this much experience? Just saying.
But Domino's is like, actually, we need a 15 page thesis on why you're passionate about
the process of creating pizza. It's like, first of all, this is Domino's. I don't think anyone's passionate about the pizza here.
Can I get a paper on economic disparities and why we have to have our 555 deal? why that business model has a kid.
Well, maybe she doesn't, you know, she doesn't get through. There's always dominoes, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But they're okay. There are very there are three important cases that are up for. So Obergefell versus Hodges, that's a gay rights issue. Mm-hmm. The ACA, it's like it's multiple states versus, I don't know, someone. And, you know, Roe v. Wade, tale as old as time. It's when somebody takes something away from you, it's worse than not having it, right? Like, I've grown up Roe v. Wade. Your women are allowed to get it. Like, that's the reality you and I grew up in.
Well, and I think, continue your thought.
And then I think it's just even the fact that it's just going to be taken away like that. And it's not for the betterment of other people. It's not for anybody's rights.
Yeah, it's because of religious bullshit.
It's clear control.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like,
and we don't give a shit about it once it comes out.
But the thing is, it's like most people's like views on it or like, you know, why they're not, again, I hate saying for it, but why they're more pro-life, they claim.
Anti-choice.
Is based off like religious views. Okay, cool. Then don't get a fucking abortion. But you don't get to tell the rest of the fucking country they can't have one because you believe in your sky daddy. I don't know what to say.
Sky daddy.
It's like, and I'm not trying to be like offensive to people who are religious, but it's more the people who are extremists and try to take away people's basic human rights based off of their beliefs.
Yeah. Also, like, even if I had an inkling that I think any of these congressional, mostly male senators actually care about it,
right?
You know, they're not sincere,
right?
They're not righteous.
And like,
well, they are a little righteous.
And none of them have had known somebody or paid for an abortion in their lifetime.
Please.
Come on. And it's just like, you know, like fucking Pence said at the debate that Kamala and Joe believe in abortion up to birth. What the fuck does that even mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean that you give birth and then somebody comes and fucking chokes your baby out? What the fuck does that mean? Does that mean like, hey, doc, I know my due date's tomorrow, but I kind of decide I'm not really into this whole being a mom thing. So, can we cut it out?
Yes, I do know it's a baby at this point. I do. Yes.
It's like, no doctor, like, just even the concept of people talking about late term abortions, like it's something that people do, is so fucking beyond me. Like, you see when Buttigieg was on?
I was just going to bring that up.
He's been, you know, they've been throwing him some balls and he's been hitting them out of field. Like, okay, yeah. Buttigieg.
Buttigieg is going to be rewarded nicely because of all this work he's doing on Fox News.
Yeah, and he's saying like, yeah, the less than 1% of late term abortions are people that have to make like, you know.
They have to make that decision.
Decision.
For a health emergency reason.
Exactly. Again, just acting that people.
And there are 6,000 women a year who get abortions in the third trimester.
Right.
That's less than like 1% of abortion cases.
Right.
And I mean, not to say that, I mean, every life like in COVID does matter. And like, I'm not, but 6,000 people a year. I'm sorry. COVID is killing like almost 500,000 people and Trump doesn't give a shit.
Right.
But these 6,000.
And these 6,000 cases would not have. Like, if they tried to take the baby out early or something, it wouldn't have lived. That's the other part. It's like, if life starts in conception, then, okay, can you take this little pod out of here? And I don't know. It's just, I just think, like, again, your beliefs, your choices for what you would do for yourself in that situation, cool, do that. But to, like, because at the end of the day, you're delusional if you think by overturning Roe versus Wade means that people are going to stop getting abortions.
That's the thing. It doesn't stop them. It doesn't. It makes them unsafe.
Makes them dangerous. It makes people like, it creates like opportunities for these stupid ass laws where women have to prove that they miscarried and they didn't fucking miscarry on purpose. Like, yeah. It's just fucking, it just really grinds my gears, you guys. Just mind your own fucking business. Don't have an abortion and don't marry somebody of the same sex if that's not what you're into. I just drives me crazy.
And that was our anti-choice rant of the pod.
Whew.
Also, we'll get to our cook of the week.
It's the crazy old cook of the week.
Why you gotta be so fucking crazy? It's Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana. And he, do you know, I was looking this up, do you know the, I say, that
rooster?
That rooster from Looney Tunes?
I think it's a Looney Tunes dude.
He sounds like him.
He does.
And he has, I mean, look, I'm not here to make fun of the way anybody looks unless they're a congressional Republican, but he has just like a Ghibli neck, you know, a little talon vibe.
So that makes you think even more like that.
Yeah, and he's comical. He has glass. He's very he very much looks like, you know, KFC Uncle Sam vibes. Not really, like not his face, but his whole vibe. His,
yeah, he's got like the glasses. Aesthetic.
If he was using a pipe, it would match the outfit.
Like, okay, yeah.
And he was asking, first of all, making it so part, and the Democrats, they know that they have to play it safe. So Cory Booker, as a black man, when he was, you know, and I guess it's called interrogating, questioning, he was
probably called questioning.
Questioning. I don't think it's interrogating. I'm probably saying that because I don't agree with her views. You know what I mean? Know.
It's just really funny. Like, I just think it's funny how, like, words have so much meaning and, right. Like, you really want them to interrogate her.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, she handled things fine. I unfortunately have to admit.
I thought that from the clips I saw, too.
She didn't, you know, she was evasive at times. She said she couldn't
answer because
it was hypothetical. I don't want to opine in the hypothetical.
Which I can kind of get.
Mm. Yeah,
but there's...
But Kamala dropped in. You see Kamala's?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, Kennedy. Okay, sorry. I'm all over the place, you guys. I haven't.
It's like we've been smoking weed or something.
I know. Oh, yeah. He asked her some softball. He said, the oath you took as a judge, do you uphold that vow? Nah.
Yeah, right.
I wish she said no.
Can you imagine? She's like,
he would have been like, oh, okay, next question, then. He wouldn't
right,
have.
Right.
And then he was.
It's like, is your name Amy?
Right.
Yes.
Are you a lady? And then he kept saying, you know, which, as you say, language. He's like, well, the Democrats, though, they're calling you a liar. Are you a liar? They're saying you a liar. They're not saying she's a liar. They're just, you know, saying you have been open about your views on abortion. Why can we trust you to not overturn Roe v. Wade, basically?
Right.
Which is so valid. And so Kennedy's saying, you know, you're a liar. They say you're a liar. And then he basically made the equation that, like, she shouldn't have any views on anything. Therefore, she must be dumb.
Wait, he called her dumb?
No, he was saying... That the Democrats want a dumb person to be the judiciary.
I see what you're saying.
They're a blank slate. They're dumb. They don't have opinions about anything. And it's like, bro, why are you here? You're just doing this for either like Daddy Trump or you're auditioning for that court drama you've always wanted to be in.
Yeah, I think it's weird to like try to allude to the fact that it's not important if somebody came out with a very specific stance on something and how they feel about it. And like, I'd be like, how can you prove to me that that's not going to, you know, influence the decision you make that should not be influenced by that?
100%. And then Senator Leahy, he is the dinosaur for New Hampshire. He's a Democrat. He asked the recusal question. If there is a contested election and there's a refusal of peaceful transfer of power, you know, would you recuse yourself?
Right.
So basically, like, you know, the only reason you're on the bench is because of Trump. He appointed you to the appellate court, the Court of Appeals, 3 years ago.
Right.
Now a Supreme Court fast track.
Right.
He picked you because you're a crazy Christian woman with black kids. Like,
don't
come on.
Get me started about that.
So we all know why you're here. And she couldn't answer. And, you know, so he asked, you know, I think about the process or something. You know, she was talking about the process. And then Mamala swooped in.
She's like, let me zoom on in here.
Literally. Let me say, Josh, I'm going to zoom.
Joe, put that mask on a little higher and shut the fuck up and let me do my job, okay?
Which she came in And she was given, you know, the time, and she just was in VP mode. Mm. She said, let me tell you why we're having this election right now. And then she talked about the ACA. I thought she was just going to make, she's making a VP speech. It really felt that way. And, you know, I didn't actually mind it.
Right.
You know? And then she worded the question in a way where she asked her, well, I mean, no matter the process, you would be the one to grant yourself recusal.
Right.
It's up to you. And the Amy crop top booty hole was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like, yeah, you know, that would be. But then I don't want to, I can't
speculate
the hypotheticals. But I thought she did a really good job at talking about the ACA and what's at stake. And I mentioned Cory Booker before. Cory Booker, like, he knew as like a black man, he had to be, like, he was so soft-spoken.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so, you know, delicate. Mm-hmm. Questioning. Thank you. Just, you know, thinking about him with Kavanaugh, like, what did you do in Harvard?
Right.
You know?
No, of course.
So.
Well, it's just like Kamala at the debates, you know, like, she mm-hmm. got, you know, how to be, like, assertive without being too aggressive and, like, looking, like, sweet, but also being like, okay, you're a fucking liar and an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think she did a good job of.
There's a fly on you.
I mean, when that, it's so funny how, like, the smallest things become, like, a collective experience.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like everybody noticed that fly. And, like, it's just funny how even small things, it's, like, it's, again, a collective experience to mock or, like, laugh or...
Oh, my God. What's his name? Steve Schmidt, the Republican strategist? Is that his name?
Oh,
he's
bald. Yeah.
He's an MSNBC contributor now.
Yeah, and he's part of the Lincoln Project, right?
Yeah, and he also was like the campaign advisor, one of the main campaign aides for McCain, Palin.
Oh, okay.
But he has since been a Democrat, and he was like on, I don't know, MSNBC probably, and he's like, he who bears the mark of the fly is devil, the devil, it's biblical, it's like...
I know, I saw a lot of people tweeting stuff about that, and, like, and everybody, of course, like, oh, flies always love bullshit, and... But then it was like, yeah, I think it's, like, it's that's great, but I'm really, like, kind of frustrated that a lot of people's takeaway from the whole debate was about that fly, and talking about that fly, and not, like, the fact that, like, Pence said there's, like, no racism in America, and that Kamala and Joe, like, approved abortions that... up to birth. And like,
I mean, you know what though, I must say I'm kind of on the vibe of the karmic fly situation.
No, I do think there's something to be said about that,
you know,
and like, he had the bloodshot
it's
eye
kind
in the
of
beginning.
A sign. Yeah,
anyway, I agree, but I think it was like a nice accoutrement to the sandwich or the meal. I just think, like, I didn't expect the accoutrement to blow everyone away the way it did. Like, oh, okay, I mean, I thought it was good, but fuck. Good to know. I'll serve that again.
I'll mix it up with different platters next time. If that fly was on the other side of that shield,
oh my God.
Kamala would just be like, bah! And then get right back to it.
Ashy was like saying, she wouldn't even look at it. She would just like grab it, flick it away. And then they'd be like, Kamala kills fly. She's too aggressive. Doesn't respect life.
Yeah, you're right. That would be. And Sheldon Whitehouse, the Democrat from Rhode Island, he just basically spent his whole time talking about dark money and how the Federalist Society fund judges and how the Federalist Society is this network. It's, you know, super whatever it is. It, you know, gives a lot of money to sway judicial elections.
Interesting.
And, you know, they're really right wing, which is very scary. So. You know, I unfortunately do think she will be confirmed. I thought we were going to be able to delay it with everything going on.
There goes some of my serotonin.
Sorry.
It's okay. I don't got much left lately, y'all. So.
Amy cracked end boobs is,
It's just, again, I just feel what we've done over the last 4 years, and hopefully we don't continue to do, is just discredit positions of power and like roles that used to be so honorable and had so much respect. And now it's like, okay, cool. So you could just like trick bag it and fucking fast track somebody through 3 years of being a judge, and then they can be a Supreme Court judge. It's like, at this point, then I feel like I don't give a fuck what the Supreme Court has to say. If it's just a bunch of people, like, it's going to end up being a bunch of people, like, with that experience.
He denigrates everything. Everything he touches turns to shit.
Yeah, it's just like...
He's the shit Midas. You know, like, trust the Midas touch?
He's a fucking stupid loser.
My friend sent that to me today, that Urban Dictionary. I was like, yeah, he is the shit Midas.
He is.
Arr! Everyone, vote.
Vote, and then fucking, like, let's keep our foot on their necks after we get them in.
Oh, one I didn't say, which I just want to say now, Amy Kulo Butthead.
Amy Kulo Butthead.
It's basically Amy Butt Butthead. Because isn't Kulo Butt? Like, Kulo.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Kulo. You know, I was working on those today, so.
Amy Kulo Butt.
Oh, you know what, actually, one thing that's kind of bringing me joy, but it's a mixed bag, is, just like, what is this? It's the TED countdown, the environmental.
So
TED did 6 hours of environmental talks and how we could possibly.
For a second, I was like, who's TED?
Oh, yeah, TED Talks.
And it was. At first, and then I was in my mind, what's that Keanu Reeves, TED and.
Bill and Ted, which Bill I Ted. Wanted to see in theaters, but like,
wait,
I didn't.
But it's not Ted and something. And then I thought Ted Cruz. And Excellent I was like, adventure. Wait, Ted Cruz wouldn't be doing anything about environmental. And then in my mind, I was like, oh, TED Talks. Okay.
Oh my God, Ted Cruz was such.
In case anybody was wondering what was just going on in my stony brain.
We figured it out. Ted Cruz was just a scumbag in the hearing. Forgot to talk about him.
Yeah, he's again, I don't know what these people think is going to happen to them, but I don't think history is going to remember you. Well, I mean, people don't even remember the Holocaust. Who fucking knows what people are going to remember?
Okay, let's, you know, turn the sadness into hope. Because the TED Countdown was hosted by our Queen of the Week.
Queen of the Week, Queen of the Week, it's the Queen of the Week.
Mark Ruffalo, you know him as the Hulk.
That's so funny. I just saw a clip of him, like, on, like, Kimmel or something, where he was talking about being at his kid's preschool, and this kid was looking at him like, are you the Hulk? And he was like, well, no, not, you know, and then his kid was like, oh, yeah, he's the Hulk. He's the Hulk. And he's like, can you turn into the Hulk? And he was like, oh, no, I can't. And his daughter's like, do it, Dad. Do it. And then he kind of went like, and the kid's like, no, it's okay, stop.
Oh my God. Isn't that precious? So precious.
It's totally something a Queen of the Week would do.
It's true. Well, him and Dom Cheadle hosted. I think it was more of a Mark Ruffalo adventure with Don Cheadle. Also, Mark Ruffalo in.
What was that movie he did about, like, didn't he do something?
Blackwater. I haven't watched it yet. I should watch it. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll watch it tonight.
Okay. Hey, let me know if you do. If it's streaming somewhere. Is it streaming somewhere?
I mean, it's got to be, right? It's somewhere.
It's 2020. It's got to be streaming somewhere.
Somewhere out there. So TED Countdown, basically it's, I don't know who's putting, Mark Ruffalo's putting it together. Okay, let's just say him. It's basically the world stage. It's environmental activists. It's scientists. It's world leaders. It's 6 hours.
Oh, wow.
I've watched 3.
Of course.
And I'm going to finish the other 3 maybe tomorrow. Or maybe I'll just marathon Blackwater and then watch the 3 hour.
I think Mark Ruffalo is more than just the queen of your heart, if you catch what I'm trying to say.
Got 5 hours of you, buddy. Get ready.
Well, I love that. I love that he also, like, really utilizes his platform to, like, advocate for environmental policies. I know he's, like, really anti-fracking. I think he was very not happy with Kamala saying over and over again during the debate that Joe Biden's not against fracking and he's not going to stop it. I can't remember the specific tweet, but I remember the tweet was talking about the different, like, contamination to water that fracking.
Oh, it's awful for water and sources and supplies.
You know, the health issues that people have in result of that.
Yeah, I mean, I am also anti-fracking, as you could have guessed.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, but at the same time, I wasn't happy either. Okay, when she mentioned that.
I understood the political, like, strategy behind it.
Exactly, here's what I'm saying. Like, but I'm not a millionaire like Mark Ruffalo, and I know that Joe and Kamala need Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And Pennsylvania is into fracking right now. And they could say they're fracking as long as they're finding better solutions for it or something.
Right.
And now you need Pennsylvania.
Yeah. That's the other thing. It is. There's got to be like some strategy, and there's got to be compromise, right? Because
even though I think Democrats at this point, too much compromise, got us here.
Yeah,
this takeover.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, a fun fact that they said here. I was also a little. I don't know about. Okay, so a fun fact they said in the TED Countdown was that China is actually taking things seriously when it comes to this, and they're planting trees, trying to do net zero solutions. And if China alone meets their goals in either 2025 or 2035, they will help save a degree and a half or something.
Oh, wow.
Which is a lot, guys.
It's a lot. I mean, I feel like climate change issues are just remind me a lot of like COVID issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there are just certain things we just have to accept that have changed now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that's changed. You know, like you no longer get like milk and glass bottles at your front door. Okay. Like people adapt. You know, we have to make changes for the greater good. And I just think that we get so caught in this like partisan red versus blue, like lack of compromise, like, or over compromising, just trying to get anything through, right, that nothing ever fucking really happens.
Yeah. And with this was odd because I remember specifically was reading an NPR article about China recently saying that they produce the most cement, and cement is horrible for the environment.
Really?
So I'm thinking like this stat better be right. Like how many trees are they planting?
Why is some? Is it because like the process it you, yeah to
the
produce it
the or? Process the gases it like, releases see. Like methane. I think it's CO2 emissions basically.
See, like that's the kind of shit that's so interesting to me. Like I fucking didn't know that.
Yeah. Right.
Am I supposed to know that? Am I supposed to know cement is one of the greater like causes towards like.
You do now.
Yeah. Now we all fucking know, guys.
Yeah, we all know.
We all know. So, like, now I'm like, what do I do with that information? Like,
yeah, that's
like,
what
I'm not really in, like, the trade of cement. Like,
I would say, if you think about it at its core, a bit boiled down, you become an environmental activist because they want to preserve nature.
Mm.
That the economy wants to bulldozer over with business and make free market.
But it, like, is there, I mean, then I'm thinking, like, should I advocate more for, like, you know, more renewable resources like hemp and things like that versus, I'm guessing, a lot of buildings and stuff are use cement?
Yeah.
It's
so it's like urban to create, you know, buildings and
this
sidewalks.
Is like one of those, like, stony, like, tunnels I'll go down later. Like,
oh, yeah.
Who utilizes cement? Never would have thought about like the cement trade business. You know, how in demand is cement? I got a lot of questions.
Something tells me you're going to Google some answers later tonight.
I hope so. Or I might fucking just forget about it and like eat a snack or something.
Oh my God, I'm on this diet. I'm high now. I'm going to want a sweet treat.
I know. I still have those peanut butter jam things. Speaking of, well, not really diet, but I started a new... I don't know if it's like a regimen or 30-day plan or something of microdosing psilocybin.
Oh, yeah. When did that start?
I started today.
Oh, how do you feel?
So I've never done mushrooms at all, like macro or microdose. So I was thought like I might feel something. But then I don't know. Like, you know, like sometimes you're like, feel some type of weird. I'm like, am I feeling something? Or am I just like imagining that in my head that I'm feeling like a difference? So I didn't feel anything as at least in like a high feeling or like a intoxicated feeling or anything like that, or psychoactive at all. But it was only 0.25 milligrams.
Oh, that's enough. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a microdose, right?
Yeah, it's a microdose. So it's over 30 days. You take a dose every 3 days, 0.25 milligrams.
You have a mushroom journal?
Yeah, you're supposed to do like a journal, set like intentions, try to eat like clean and rest more, and supposed to help, you know, with like overall clarity and focus and like depression and anxiety.
Not that this is anything like Nexium, but it's reminding me because you're talking about like intentions and clear. I've been watching that Nexium doc, The Vow, on HBO Max.
Oh, I was like, what's that?
Right. If it's like anything, you know, it's like, you know, self-help. It seems, you know, inspirational. Themes and things that I would get down with too, you know, I could be into that.
Yeah, that's but why then, I thought for sure when I watched Tiger King, you would have been part of that one tiger cult where they like were about yoga and like young girls interning.
Yeah, well,
it was like animals and yoga and vegetarianism. I was like, oh, they would have got Sam. I'd have to be fucking on my way to South Carolina. Like, bitch, we got to go. This old man is not your guru. You're exploiting these animals. Let's go.
Guru Doc Handel? But fuck anyway. That guy.
Yeah, fuck that. He's creep. But anyway, back to the vow.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's clearly an MLM. The guy used to work in Amway.
What's Amway?
Oh, just a reminder. It's Betsy DeVos's husband's family's business empire. It's a MLM.
Damn.
Yeah. And then it gets pretty sex culty, and that's when it gets interesting, you know? Okay. Every time there's a man who claims they're a guru of some sort, he claimed that he's a genius, like the world record people have called him a genius, and he spoke a bunch of languages, and it turned out that was all fraud. Yo, if I found that information out, the first thing I would be doing is Googling, like, did the Guinness Book of World Records? this guy is...
But I think a lot of people that join and buy that kind of shit are in a lot more vulnerable situations where, like, might not have an access to even Google something.
Yeah, well, some of them were, like, legit actors and stuff.
Well, Scientology, so...
Oh, yeah. He had a fascination with MLMs and Scientology. I don't know. He's just a creepy guy. I'm never going to fall for a dude being all-knowing. I can't... Men are... You know, I have some hangups.
Yeah. Sam all of a sudden was like, wait, this isn't my therapy session. People actually listen to this. I'm going to.
Rewind. Yeah. See, anything else for you?
I just wanted to mention, again, the election is close. Recently did some like phone banking.
Oh, yeah.
With our friends at Inside Lands, and it was a really interesting experience. And there's like a lot of opportunities for like phone banking or text banking coming up. So, you know, maybe we'll put like a poll out if people are interested. We can direct you.
And if you're having trouble with the props, listen to our Queen Supreme episode.
Yeah. And make sure to track those ballots.
Track
make sure they got a voting plan. I mean, this is gonna be shit we're gonna be saying over the next couple weeks, because I mean, what, we got only a couple more episodes until like we know who our next president is.
Yeah. Oh my god, Michael B. Jordan just tweeted a thirst trap and said vote early.
Oh my god, did you hear about when, I can't remember if we talked about this, when Chris Evans accidentally like tweeted like a picture of his dick or something?
I've heard the tales.
Yeah. And then like he, you know, everybody was like going fucking wild on Twitter about it. And then he didn't say anything for a while. And then like his first tweet back was like, well, now that I got your attention, like make sure you're registered to vote or go vote November 3rd or something.
Love him. He has an organization for voting in civics or something.
You know what? Chris Evans could really fucking get it.
Oh, he can get it.
Like.
Get it.
Whew. You know, I think we should just end on that note because my serotonin is back, bitches! Woo!
I'm also in a considerably better mood, actually, after talking about Chris Evans' dick, so.
Woo! All right, well, y'all, thanks as always for being here. You know, like, subscribe, comment, give us a follow at @highly_political. And we'll be back next week, hopefully with more hope.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I'll be on like dose 3 of my psilocybin by then, so hopefully that might be a difference. I don't know. Anyway, guys, thanks. Bye.
Bye.